If it, it might not be what other people think is correct.
But what is correct, you know?
Exactly. Damn. Exactly.
Here we are doing philosophy. this is...
How you feeling all right?
I'm hungover.
Yeah.
It was really hard to leave the dog today.
Sure. You say that every day, though.
Yeah, but today especially. I just... Like, we were taking a nap on the couch before I had to come here, and she was just, like, looking at me, knowing I had to leave.
Yeah.
And just, like, saying, don't do it.
Wow. But you're here.
Yeah. It's been 12 hours since I saw you last.
This is your confession?
Yeah. What'd you do?
12 hours since my last confession. I felt pretty, I felt okay this morning.
Okay.
I probably didn't need to finish with mezcal.
No.
Yeah.
We drank a lot of mezcal.
Did we? I think I drank most of that.
There was a lot of mezcal drank.
Yeah, that might have been my fault. I think the grape witches were just like sipping it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's the matter? You can't party?
Yeah. Well, you guys aren't cool?
We just drank all that Syrah. But you want some nice, cool mezcal to wash it down?
You know, I don't want to talk about me for very long. I did have a crazy nightmare that me and my coworkers were hunting a ghost.
Wow.
That's
some Skibidoo shit.
It was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Thanks to all of them for being in my dreams in a completely not weird way.
Dis Gorgeous.
How are you feeling today, Mike? Okay?
I feel like $1 million.
Yeah?
Yeah, got a good night's sleep last night.
Good old
brag much, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you have to.
Nightmares?
No, I actually closed my eyes and woke up and didn't know where I was.
Isn't that great?
That's a good feeling. That normally doesn't happen to me.
Dying's gonna fucking rule.
Oh, I have, I don't sleep very much normally, so getting a full night's sleep without waking up is a rarity.
Is it because your vineyards are haunted?
No. Just been working too much. Working too hard. And bad shoulders. Can't sleep on my side. Can't sleep on my back.
Well, you sleep on your tummy?
No, I can't sleep. That's bad for you.
So how do you sleep?
I don't.
Oh,
I get about an hour nap, and then I roll over, and I get another hour nap.
Oh, God.
You should get one of those, like, sensory deprivation chambers, so you can just kind of, like, float in, like, a thin pool of salt water.
I heard that that's
a good idea.
That's what Steph Curry does.
He seems to be doing great.
Yeah, I get you guys mixed
that's
up
my
a
golf
lot.
Game.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
So, yeah, welcome to a very hungover episode of Disgorgeous.
You're just taking that from me?
Yeah.
Okay, do it.
I'm the dumb one. This is a podcast about wine.
Okay. I'm Duck.
Wow. And our guest today is Mike Roth from Lo-Fi Wines. Thanks for being here.
I'm very excited.
Excellent.
Frequent listener, first-time guest.
Will you push the thing just a little bit closer to you? That's fine.
There we go.
Yeah. I'll
move forward.
You don't seem very excited. You seem laconic as fuck.
It'll take me a while. I'm worried about saying something that might come back.
One listens.
Oh, well, just get out of your system real quick and we'll cut it.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, just drop.
How do you feel about French people?
Yeah.
Love the French. Love the French.
Thou doth protest too much.
No. I took French in high school because I wanted to be a chef.
Okay,
and
cool.
I used to watch, you know, the Master Chefs and everything. Mm-hmm. I thought that's all I wanted to be.
And then what happened? You were just bad at it?
No, I think I'm a pretty good cook. My dad used to say, you know, you work from here down, you'll make this much money. You work from here up, you'll make this much money. He was more into the idea.
Let the listeners know he went from his beard to his groin from his beard to the top of his head.
Exactly. It doesn't transfer well into the medium.
Yeah.
It's an audio medium.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's hard.
I do think we're more of an audio large.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah!
Oh,
that's true.
Kevin, you're just fucking cracking out the jokes. Hey, this isn't bad. This one.
Yeah. So guess what, intrepid listeners, we're doing Cab Franc. This is the payback for having to do Syrah last night,
which you loved,
which I loved, and you're gonna love this.
This is fine.
This is from Moss. It is just Moss, right? Mm-hmm. I always feel like I want to throw like an accent aigu on that E.
Well, you don't do it.
It's better than a Grave.
Right.
better than a circumflex. That's the little hat.
The hat. Yeah, I like to. You throw the circumflex out at people; they don't know what to say.
I'm always throwing the circumflex out there.
This is from Agnes and Renee Moss. So this is, they're based in Anjou. They're in the Jenny and Francois book, so they
are they? Because it says Louis Dresner in the back.
Thank you, Louis Dresner.
Mm-hmm. I get that mixed up, too.
It's two names. Yeah. It's very confusing. Yeah. They're from the Louis Dresner book.
But isn't Louis Dresner one guy?
Louis Dresner is one guy.
But it's two names. Jenny Francois.
Jenny Louis and Dresner. Francois.
Yeah. I get that there's an and in it. It's still two names. Yeah. It's like two John names. John McCarroll is two names.
No, it's one name.
Agree to disagree. They didn't have a tech sheet for this wine. Their tech sheets are a little bit outdated, but there was some info on Chamber Street about it. 40-year-old vines, mostly on schist.
Okay.
This is a Vin de France, so it's not a proper Anjou. I don't know exactly where that means these grapes are coming from. But that's the vibe. Everything they do is organic, leaning bio. Actually, this might be... Is it certified Demeter?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's certified bio. And they're
and it's a certified banger.
What does it
certified
mean?
Banger, yeah.
Biodynamic.
Biodynamic. Yeah, bio.
Bio.
Yeah.
Dynamic.
Yeah. Dynamic. Dynamic bio that the French have.
This is moving.
For Demeter.
Yeah. This is good.
Uh-huh.
It's saline, which it I was not expecting. Yeah.
Saltiness.
I like the slight effervescence. Mm-hmm. Bottled little CO2 there.
Yep. How do you feel about a little bit of bottled CO2 in a wine?
Keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
That's important, you know, if you want to keep it fresh.
Yeah. You don't want to use those little sulfite boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a sulfite boy or not sulfite boy?
I'm in between. I feel a judicious use of it is worthwhile. I'd rather make a delicious wine with a little bit of sulfur than mousy wine.
Okay.
Or without a sulfur.
No, it's fine. You're canceled, but that's okay. Yeah.
On the day of raw? Yeah. How dare you?
It's it was funny because I was browsing through the wine in question, the Jules Chauvet.
Uh-huh. Also, it's a fucking root day.
Hell yeah.
It's a fucking root day raw.
I don't believe in roots and biodynamics.
You don't believe in roots?
Biodynamics.
Is that why your wine's so weird?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's ethereal.
Yeah. I don't really believe in the biodynamic calendar that much either, but I do think if I was doing a natural wine festival, I would probably plan it on a fruit day.
Yeah. When we did our dinner a few weeks ago, we didn't think about it at all, and then we checked, and it was a fruit day.
Yeah. Which is how we roll.
Yeah, we felt very vindicated in our non-decision.
Vindifrancicated.
Yeah.
Well, when we farmed biodynamically at Demetria, a place I used to work at, they had me spraying the Three Saints spray. Mm-hmm. So drinking on a Sunday is as close because it has a religious context, the biodynamics as well, because you have to spray the Three Saints I can't remember what was it, winter solstice or whatever, but it bring a little Catholicism. So you're drinking on a Sunday, so that's as close to biodynamics.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're saying biodynamics is Catholic?
Well, no.
Protestant.
The Three Saints, there's no reason unless you're talking three. I was spraying frankincense and myrrh and things like that. But I don't think Steiner felt that. I think he thought that religion was dead. I mean, I think there was something I read about these portions. He was also a eugenicist, which I think is...
Yeah, he was a bad... He was definitely
weird.
Canceled.
That's like, weird for German philosophers to be eugenicists.
Yeah. Yeah. Across the board. But, I mean, and it's like owning a Hitler painting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he had a sensitive side, right? As a Jew, it's kind of, you know... I don't think I'd own one of those.
There's a sub...
No.
There's a subplot in Succession where, like, the biggest fail son, like, is trying to buy Napoleon's dick. And, like... Episodes later, they reference the fact that he bought a fake Napoleon's dick, but it's just like this tiny little joke that is really funny to me.
Oh, tiny little dick. Yeah.
So Cab Franc, let's play Defend Your Grape. I'm a big Cab Franc fan.
The best.
You really? Love it too.
The best.
You make great Cab Franc. Thanks. We're sitting here with a Cab Franc denier.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Cab Franc denier. I just think that it gets a lot of love it doesn't need. I think in the hands of... of whack winemakers, of which the majority of winemakers are whack. I think we can all agree on that. Mm. Cab Franc just tastes like Cab Franc. It tastes... It doesn't give me a lot unless you beat it into shape.
Yeah.
I would rather have other wines generally.
Keep going.
I'd rather have other wines generally. Like, if I'm going to take a chance on an unknown producer, I generally think their Cab Franc is going to be... like, it's going to taste like pyrazines and, like, eh... But there's great Cab Franc out there. I don't fucking know. I don't hate anything, man.
Yeah.
The only thing I hate is being alone.
Mm. And today, maybe today you hate being alive.
I hate being alive, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Dutch.
I hate them. You read my manifesto.
I hate people that are intolerant of other people's culture and the Dutch. No, I think it's it can be all things to all people, Cap Franc. You know, there's people that make these kind of big, opulent, kind of overblown California-style Cabernet Franc that gives everything to those people that they want, and then they can be these restrained, kind of Pirozzini, kind of more rigid styles. And it's a good grower. It produces a decent amount of fruit, and it can feed the masses.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Rabelais said it was like the best grape.
I'll agree with him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's at least for me, I tend to be more Loire centric in the styles of wines, and I just think that's like the breadbasket of France and their
think
styles.
No one here will argue with you.
Yeah,
I want to, but I don't. It's right.
Not, it's,
I think it's like I think Cab Franc. It, like to your point, when it's done poorly, it can be extremely unpleasant. Mm-hmm. But I think that's true of almost like anything.
Pinot.
Pinot could be really,
Pinot's
really
the
gross.
the most unpleasant thing made poorly.
Yeah,
oh, that's true. This one has a weird glycerin mouthfeel, which I'm really into, but it's like it's doing things I'm not expecting it to do. It is like staggeringly French. I'm just gonna throw that motherfucker out there.
Yeah. Well, Agnes and Rene are very French names.
Yeah.
Anjou feels like a very French place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Cab Franc is a very, perhaps the most French grape.
Mm-hmm.
Franc is in the name.
Franc, exactly. It's the parent of
it's the parent of Cabs. Yeah.
Yeah, let me be Franc about this one.
At least it's not Sauve.
Mm. At least it's not Sauve.
Exactly.
We are not going to do a Cab Sauve episode.
We are definitely doing a Cab Sauve.
Cheers to that. Yeah, Cab Sauve.
Cheers.
You should only do Cab.
Don't break
my glasses. Oh, God. I think we went.
Did we? Oh.
No, that's okay. I can drink around.
Okay.
It paid 99 cents per glass.
They're good. I love the twirled stem.
I'm so sorry I broke that glass.
These look like wedding glasses.
Are you okay?
No, I'm okay. I can drink through that.
Don't.
It's not going to leak.
Don't cut your face.
It's not going to leak.
Okay. I guess we're going to start doing blood rituals again. Everything's fine.
When you started working in wine...
These are heavy glasses. It's like a mace.
Your glass is very heavy, I know.
Yeah.
A good golfer always blames his clubs. when you started your project Lo-Fi, and obviously you'd worked in wine for a while, was it always on your mind that you would work with Cab Franc a bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well...
Where'd you come up, kid?
I'm from Jersey.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lakewood.
Nice.
No, I don't have them. Pay us out. No, but it was always the wine of choice or Loire-ish wines. And then Chris Brockway, when he started Brock and started making wines more of the style that you enjoy drinking as opposed to making, it made me think that, well, that's what I want to make.
Yeah, cool.
How long have you been doing this for?
First vintage was 96.
Oh, yo. So you made wine.
I'm 50. Mostly, you know, Santa Barbara isn't exactly known for Cab Franc, but more Rhone varietals and Pinot Noir. But the styles of wines that I was making when I was working for other people weren't exactly what I wanted to drink. But you got to pay the bills.
Exactly.
I love this wine.
I could bathe in this.
It's like, and it's really good for 1 o'clock in the afternoon, hungover on a Sunday, and it's raining.
It's almost.
I want to do a puzzle.
If you know what I mean? Jigsaw?
Like a jigsaw puzzle.
Not a word. That's
not
too
a word
much search. To
yeah. I've done my crosswords with my coffee. I did the jigsaw with my Cab Franc.
There you go.
I want to take a nap.
I want some cheese and pate.
I think
I should have gotten a charcuterie board to bring. Does anybody ever brought that to?
We've had people bring us food. We sometimes provide food. I provided one square of pizza
for
you.
Everyone got one square of pizza.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a
goes
cool
well
move.
With the stale scone that I had this morning for breakfast.
Okay, that sounds very tasty.
Yeah.
So you're enjoying our local cuisine.
Yes. When I ordered the scone, she said, I don't know if we got these on Friday or yesterday.
Oh.
Do you want it heated? No, I said, I'll need it dry.
Were there other options?
No.
You were just like, okay, I'll just take it.
I was saying, you already touched it with the tongs.
Yeah, those dirty tongs. What else have you been doing with those?
Yeah. What those tongs do.
Well, I think last night we decided that Syrah, if it was played in a movie, would be played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But I disagree with that.
I think that...
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think The Rock.
No. Okay. He's not clever enough.
Mm-mm. Well, he's pretty clever.
Pretty clever.
He's pretty clever.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
The idea was that he is sort of strong while also being soft.
I think Mel Gibson.
No. Sarah's not racist enough.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah does have bitch tits.
Sarah is like a powerful, like, Opus Dei grape. Mm. And also does well in Australia, but no one knows.
Maybe then it's more of like a Hemsworth. Sure. An elder.
Mm-hmm. I would go Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh.
I think he can be, you know, very strong and but then he can be more of this gentle kind of flail, my left footish kind of
guy. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
So if we're going to accept that Syrah,
it could be possibly one of the greatest
greats. Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. Who's going to play Cab Franc?
That's a tough one.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill can really fit himself into any role.
Yeah, if you like discipline him.
That actually kind of makes
his life
sense.
Coach.
Yeah.
Right, because he can be in like a dumb broad comedy, mm-hmm. And be sort of offensive, but also he can like be in Moneyball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'll accept it.
I can take Jonah Hill. Yeah, I'd party with him.
You haven't had a chance yet?
I haven't had a chance.
I got really high once. One time I got high. And I went to a restaurant, and Michael Cera was there.
Oh, wow.
So it was almost like hanging out with Jonah Hill.
I like him, Michael Cera. He's a funny guy.
He's a good boy. Yeah. He seemed... I think he was on a date.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw Owen Wilson the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like. He's a good guy.
Yeah, New York's pretty fucking fun. I saw Paul Dano recently, too. Yeah. At Thirst Wine Merchants.
Wow, dropping a bunch of names.
Yeah, sorry.
He was the Swiss Army Man. That was a good movie.
Oh yes. That was really good.
It was pretty funny.
It was him and Daniel Radcliffe, mm-hmm. right? I didn't see that. I gotta watch that. Didn't he just like fart to move or something?
Yeah, they used it. They used his gas
corpse
to
gas.
Move the.
Oh, nice.
To move the.
I just like that as an idea.
It is. It was a solid movie. He played a great Brian Wilson. I mean,
oh, I did like him in that movie.
That was a good movie.
He always looks like he's about to tell a secret. Like he's like
Paul Dano could maybe play Cab Franc.
He could. Yeah, he's a little too young looking though. I think there has to be somebody older with maybe a little bit more edgy.
Joaquin Phoenix could be Cab Franc actually. Would be nice.
You just hit the that is.
Is Cab Franc a chameleon? The Joker?
He's probably the greatest.
He's probably the greatest. Living actor of his generation. I'll put it out.
Cab Franc is the greatest living grape of their generation.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Wow. I haven't seen The Joker, but The Master.
The Master.
If Philip Seymour Hoffman was alive,
mm-hmm. yeah.
he would be Cab Franc.
But he's not that. Oh, he is fun sometimes. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Like him in Boogie Nights is really
fun. Along Kim Pauly.
In Along Kim Pauly.
Yeah. Mr. Lubowski's this way.
Oh, yeah.
Big Lubowski. I mean, he's. Mm-hmm.
We could bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reanimate him.
Well, actually, that's what they're doing. They're bringing Cab Franc back to life. So.
Oh, great.
Damn.
I love it.
Did you listen to the new Kanye album?
I don't listen to Kanye.
Yeah, it's really fucking bad.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
He lives down the street from a buddy of mine, and there's nothing about Kanye that I want to know.
In Montana or in
Calabasas?
Got it. Yeah. He has a lot of houses.
He has a lot of houses.
But he's not God, so it's different.
No. Giving those houses away to the Lord.
Yeah, they, obviously.
Isn't it something called Jesus is Lord or something like that?
Jesus is King is the obvious.
Which is King.
I saw there's that the God guy on Instagram, and he had a thing about it. It was pretty funny. It was like, I didn't need to hear that. I think that was his tagline about Kanye's album. Yeah, that was a...
What's up?
Latest album you guys bought. The last one.
Bought?
I don't buy albums.
You didn't buy... You don't buy... you got vinyl all over the place.
But...
That's why I said album.
Okay, fair.
I bought The Witcher 3.
Oh, sweet.
Which is a video game.
Yeah.
I bought that last week.
I've made myself stop buying records because I've run out of room, as you can kind of see. I'm bursting at the seams, so I have to sell records to buy more.
That's a good.
But I also don't buy records that were made after 1983. No. I only buy old stuff.
Do you buy records?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Modern, like new presses.
Oh, and stuff. Hence the name, lo-fi.
I just bought the new records. See, it's a hole in the middle. Ooh. Charlie Crockett, The Valley.
Uh-huh.
If you don't own it, go get it.
All
right. Is it on Spotify?
It is on Spotify.
I'll probably sketch it on Spotify.
Yeah. I'm going to see him in November. He's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think probably
if you like Honky Tonk.
I do like
Honky
Tonk. The last probably real record I bought was a John Prine record for my wife.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those. He's good.
Yeah. Sweet Revenge is a good record. And I bought the one with the duets on it, which is really good as well.
Yeah. I have first two. Mm-hmm. I haven't bought it. I listened to his latest one, even with the throat cancer and stuff that. He's pretty good still.
Yeah.
It lends to his style of singing.
Does he? How did he get throat cancer?
He's a heavy smoker.
Oh, it's not from oral sex?
No,
not the Michael Douglas.
That's a bummer.
That's tongue cancer.
Oh, okay.
That's tongue cancer.
That is kind of cool. Like Michael Douglas is just like, doing what he loves.
How do you think Catherine Zeta-Jones feels about his
time? She's probably just like,
well, I didn't give it to you.
Like, honestly, like, worth it?
Yeah. This is delicious.
Wicked restrained.
Yeah.
Which is what I like from, like, Cab Franc and Mencia. I do like it when they're beat down.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like when they get exuberant, it's just like, you miss a sense of place.
Well, there are a couple things I like about Cab Franc.
Go on.
I like when, in just in general, it's done in a more restrained style, like you're talking about. I also really love when it's done carbonically, and which is sort of the opposite of restrained, but because of like the inherent fruitiness that comes out and the way that that plays with the vegetal notes of it.
It's a sequel to Inherent Vice.
Inherent fruitiness. it'll be an HBO series, like Watchmen. I just think that it plays like you have to do something with Cab Franc, because if you don't do something with it, it will just take over and it can be unstoppable.
To run the gamut,
yeah. It's like Venom.
Mm-hmm. You know, cool.
You have to be strong enough to control the symbiote.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but
I haven't either. Yeah. But I'm sure it's very scary.
Yeah, Tom Hardy is good. I'm a big Tom Hardy fan.
Yeah, he's I'm trying to think of who he is and why. Now that we're doing this,
Tom Hardy's Merlot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
He
could be everything to everybody.
Yeah. And he's a little dumb.
And he's a little big.
Okay.
Yeah. And big.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell.
Veronica Mars is...
I've never watched it.
She could be Sauvignon Blanc.
That is such a fucking bullshit thing to
I'm
say.
I'm not trying to be mean.
No. Okay.
She's just like, she could be fun.
Vermentino.
I'm not ready to laugh again. All right, if you're listening and you're not hungover and you know what great Kristen Bell is, why don't you DM Kevin?
Yeah, there you go. 1-800.
It's at Eric Asimov on Instagram. Just DM Kevin. He'll know exactly what you're talking about. Have you met Asimov?
I have. Nice guy. Came out to visit the winery.
When's he going to come on the pod, do you think?
I don't know. Have you asked him?
Yeah.
And he...
He said sure, but it was really just like...
Like, please stop bothering me, kid.
Oh, he's a really nice guy. As a writer of wine, I think he has really high standards. But I think
he writes really good sci-fi too.
You know, maybe that's why I thought is that he doesn't accept samples and he purchases all the wine.
That's cool.
And he searches stuff out, which I find interesting because I don't think most. No, I think most wine writers get pitched stuff by PR people.
Right. He seems to have his own goals, and they're all pretty honorable goals.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, hey, why aren't we taking Spain more seriously?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Why aren't we talking more seriously about climate change? And, like, let's talk about what bottles are actually $20 on the shelf and not the stuff that the PR people said would be $20 on the shelf, but it's really $25.
He did say that... big companies are going to help us fight global warming, so he's canceled.
Whoa.
I've been trying to prep my take to fucking eviscerate him, but I'm just doing this right now. Big companies aren't your friend, Asimov.
Well, as long as big companies can make money out of saving the world, then they will. I mean, if they can use it in their advertising to tell us that we should buy more Coca-Cola. I mean, who's the guy who invented the Segway?
He died on the Segway, too.
No, that was the guy who bought it.
Oh, okay.
The guy who made it, they made a movie about, a documentary, and he partnered up with Coca-Cola, and Coca-Cola funded him making these water distillation machines that you can drop anywhere, and it can turn dirtiest water into clean water for people, and because waterborne illness is the major killer or whatever in Africa. But Coca-Cola funded it, so all those Coca-Cola machines where you basically stick the cup underneath and hit the select button that you want. That machine is a byproduct of his making this distillation.
Oh, that's so weird.
But then again, it's a Coca-Cola product, so it's going to go out and poison the rest of the world, but it's going to make clean water for some villagers in Africa.
Yeah,
so, but that's how they're going to save the world. They're going to
Well, they're going to say the parts that they like.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to do it through no-till farming or the whatever Eric just wrote about, which is fantastic.
I wonder what like big kava houses, what the ideal world for them is, because like, I have a sneaking suspicion it has a shit ton of inequality, and I think they don't, as long as they can keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
like I think that's the thing, is like a lot of times companies are just looking for the status quo. Mm-hmm. Like they'll save the world by like making sure their markets are preserved, but it's not going to like save the world like by making me the god king of the, you know, of the United States or whatever, which is what I should be doing.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing that that Amazon buying Whole Foods, mm-hmm. you know, Whole Foods, the concept of making everybody, you know, buy organic and mm-hmm. as local as possible, but is they'll all see the money in catering to the people who feel like they have to, you know, want to save the world. So that's how they're going to save the world.
I think we should eat Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of Jeff Bezos entering that classroom?
Yeah, he's getting dunked on by kids.
And the kids, and like the teacher's like, oh my God, he's here. And the kids are like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. This one kid leans over and goes, fuck is Jeff Bezos? And the kid tells him he owns Amazon. The kid obviously rolls his eyes and turns back. And Amazon released the video, like not realizing that this had happened in the forefront of it. It's so fucking good.
They should have told him he's the richest man in the world, and then they would have been excited because we fetishize richness.
But that was what was sort of cool. Income, these kids didn't seem to give a fuck. Like, he knew.
Well, they didn't tell him.
He knew that. Oh, he owns Amazon. He's fucking rich. He was like, oh, this fucking asshole. Yeah. And like, they just like sat there and were like, cool, thanks for the computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the rich guys who don't have any fucking fun. It's like, if I had $25,000, I would be doing cocaine and screaming.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos is like finding new ways to juice fruits.
Yeah.
Cold, hot pressing.
Yeah, instead of cold pressing. The fucking fruit. Yeah, getting all those extra minerals out of it.
Speaking of some hot pressed fruit, mm-hmm. We're on to our second wine.
Wow. Yeah.
This is from Patrick Corbineau. This is Le Puissant Michel, VDF, 2009. It's a Taurine Rouge, but it's a VDF from Camille. This guy's really, really, really interesting. Actually, not super well known. Like, if you guys remember our Catalan episode, got a little bit in common with the Cariel de Villars, like, just some guy who's kind of rejecting modernity, despite what all of his neighbors are doing, making really small amounts of wine. At the time when I read his press release, he had been to Paris exactly once.
Mm-hmm.
So, really...
One time's too many.
Yeah. He's making, like, the platonic ideal of natural wine, or... As we said in earlier episodes, he's a Hanif, as in he's come to monotheism without actually hearing the good word of Muhammad. And, this is biodynamic, sans souf, nothing done in the cellar, really. And
sounds lazy.
Just got his, yeah. this one's sourced from 5 vineyard sites he works with in Touraine. Grapes are rolled over wooden slats to destem and start initial fermentation. After 5 weeks, free-run juice is separated and the must is pressed. First pressing is left on fine lees for 36 months in barrel, racked and left in barrel for 2 years before bottling. And this is a fantastic vintage. 2009, which of course is the vintage that destroyed Beaujolais. So, interesting.
It's a killer vintage.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that hot? I'm
it smells like camembert.
It's got a cheesiness, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of older Cab Franc that's not in a Bordeaux blend. Does that make sense? I don't mm-hmm. feel like I get put like a 10-year-old Loire Cab Franc doesn't get put in front of me very
bummed
often.
You didn't bust out your Clos Rougeard secret stashes.
Sorry,
you know, 20-year-old.
I don't know the password to that safe.
This was for my own protection. This was a fun value too. It was $45 at Thirst. They have this and the 2002 vintage.
Uh-huh. Oh wow.
I mean, I love Camille's book.
Me too. We did the one I did last night for the Syrah.
We didn't love that one though.
You didn't love that one.
Okay.
The rest of us liked it.
Okay.
But it was also a $20 Cote Catalan Syrah.
So how much have exactly you spent this weekend on wine? How much have I spent? I've spent $100 on wine this weekend.
That's cool. How much pizza did you make?
I made 2 fucking loaves of bread and got chicken yesterday.
Weird that you didn't put like sauce or cheese on that bread.
I'm going to Venmo you so hard. Oh, I just got an email from Nintendo.
Like, how come you're not playing Nintendo? It's raining and you're sad.
Yeah, what are you doing, dog? Do you game, my dude?
No.
Cool.
I used to, before I had children, I did.
Yeah?
But no time to game. Mm-hmm. My kids do. They have all the platforms.
That must suck to seeing your kids have the fun you want to have.
A couple last year, I think I spent a whole weekend beating a game.
Congratulations.
So it's sort of like your hands look like this so that your kids' hands can look like...
Exactly.
And their hands are playing a video game.
Yeah. Well, my oldest son comes out and helps. He drives a tractor and
that's tight. That's good for kids.
Yeah, yeah. They still don't want to do that. When they were little, they wanted to be winemakers, but no.
Do they like to get drunk?
Now they know better.
What's that?
Do they like to get drunk?
They haven't yet. I was thinking about that the other day when my oldest turns 18, you know, take him to France and, you know, take him out wine tasting and stuff like
that's
that.
That's a fun idea.
Just to maybe share in the passion that I have for it. They don't understand, though.
When I was in high school, my friend, you know, he turned 18 while we're still in high school, and he came home and his dad was like, son, we're going to have a beer together. And he was like, okay. He's like, let's go. We're going to the bar. And he was like, they won't serve me a beer. And he's like, what do you mean? You just turned 18. And he was like, the drinking age is 21. And his dad was like, since when? He had no fucking idea that like 30 years earlier... 18 years earlier, they changed it to 21. You had no idea.
I had a glass of wine with my little brother the other day. Nice. He's 15. He goes to Catholic school.
Then that's nice. You had a glass of the blood of Christ.
Yeah, so
blood of
Christ. But like, it was my dad's wedding, which was great and fun and not triggering.
Mazel tov?
Yeah, thank you. Mazel, consider this mazel tov. And yeah, he was like the whole night. He was like, Dad says I can have a glass of wine with you afterwards. I'm like, okay, let's do this.
That's pretty cute.
So you got a bottle of champagne into rails off the back of the...
Yeah, well, I had some...
Drinking sparkling.
Some really fucking expensive like wine from Ribera Sacra, and we're having... but first, he brought his girlfriend over to my dad's house. My dad had got married, so wasn't staying at his home. He was at the honeymoon suite of the Marriott in Albany, New York.
Nice.
So if you're staying there this weekend... I guess you're related to me now. And my little brother and his girlfriend hung out in the basement with the door open for about an hour and a half.
Nice.
It was really confronting to me because, like, what should I do in this situation?
The door was open.
Throw him a pack of condoms.
I just got drunk. Just like, well, fuck it.
Yeah. That's what I want my big brother to do.
And I got at dinner after a couple glasses of Pinot Grigio, I did like lean over. It's like, I used to work at Planned Parenthood, so if you guys have any questions about like STDs or, and they're like, why are you doing this? I'm like, it's not a sin, Ryan.
Yeah, it's not a sin.
Don't DM him. That's his name, Ryan.
My son. We were watching a movie and there was a sex scene, and my oldest son gets embarrassed like I used to as a kid.
He runs away. I would cover my eyes.
My youngest son looks over at my wife and I and goes, I'm not afraid of romance.
Oh, shit!
Ollie can pull it down.
Yeah. It's cool when your kid's like, rocking his baby.
He's got his nice size. He's grown his hair out.
Oh,
he's
that's a good
sweet,
move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got a sweet Jufro. Mm. I got him a headband. And
Does he do kickflips?
No, but he looks like McEnroe.
Oh, nice.
70s. That's got to be good.
Hell yeah, that's a good look.
It is a good look.
Also,
he's bringing it back.
This is something that we've talked about this podcast all the time, which is I think most winemakers are Catholic. Is that the case in California?
We're Pastafarians, actually.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm gluten-free, but I get it.
We got this. We tried to get my son to for his class picture to go and
with the colander.
Oh yeah,
that's so tight.
He wanted to rock it, but my wife had problems with him taking his school photo.
Oh,
the colander on his head.
That's a cool kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
He's wearing a Thrasher tee.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
He's not afraid.
But yeah. It's so funny. Like just considering like how few non-Catholic winemakers there would be in rural France. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation the other day. How many like gay winemakers there are who just don't ever come out because they live in the fucking middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and like,
well, it's probably hard.
Yeah.
To find other gay winemakers.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird because like wine canonically is gay as hell, but
it's yeah, in a happy way.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I think. I know a couple of the great winemakers.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have a problem meeting dudes.
No, yeah, God. Sure.
I've never had met a winemaker that had trouble getting laid if they wanted to,
yeah,
regardless of what their preferences were.
But it's like, we shit on California wine a lot sometimes because I do think that, like, present company excluded, a lot of times California wine is seems very immature compared to the old world. But there's so much to be said for, like, we do have winemakers who aren't landed gentry, like old white dudes.
They all want to be old white dudes.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a hotter take if I wasn't hungover. There's like there's a core of a take there. You guys can do the work.
I saw a Rioja that's called Conde de Herveas or whatever, and it's the count of, and he's literally like a count.
Yeah. And one, makes, a two.
That's pretty awesome.
So yeah, that's a real thing. We don't have any counts here.
No. You're from Jersey. Are you a landed gentry in Jersey?
No, landed gentry. No, I grew up in an apartment. So I'm used to small spaces.
What do you think of my apartment?
I love your apartment. I try to. It's very warm and inviting. Great. And I love the neighborhood.
Do you like your statement wall?
I did. That is. I was going to say it's almost stacked books.
Which
I think if that was stacked books, it'd be even greater.
Yeah. How cool would that be if that was books Kevin's read?
It's just like a bunch of comic books.
Yeah.
Just like Infinite Jest, Mein Kampf, Infinite Jest.
The three comic books you've read. Watchmen.
I judge people by their house. If I come in and it has lots of books or records, then they're good people.
All right.
But if it's sparsely populated with expensive furniture, I don't feel comfortable.
If you go to Duck's house, it's just like North African art and wine.
Pets kind of set it off too.
My house is pretty weird.
It's pretty great though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live alone?
No, this month I do. My girlfriend's doing stuff in the Southwest and said I can't come.
Oh.
It's cool.
Well, you had to stay here to do the podcast.
Yeah. I think we're fighting. We'll be fine. It's no big deal. I would cut that. It's pretty fucking lonely.
Yeah. Easiest way is profess your love. Nothing that I'd love to hear that.
You might love you. So I'm home with the dog all month, which has been actually staggeringly good for my brain.
Nice.
I almost cried because I'm so hungover.
I thought I saw a little tear or glisten at least in your eye.
I love that dog so fucking much. We were sitting on the couch holding hands for like 2 hours today.
They love to do that, dogs.
They're so perfect.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
Two.
What kinds?
Lucy is half poodle, half Jack Russell.
Yes.
She's a killer.
Yeah.
She loves to go out and hunt ground squirrels and stuff like that.
Fuck yeah.
She's a tough bitch. And then Kermit's a French bulldog.
Named after Kermit Lynch?
No, Kermit the Frog. French Frog.
Canonically the same person.
Yeah, they're the same guy.
Yeah. But great. He's a lover, but he's a French bulldog.
So like Pepe Le Pew.
Very inbred.
Breathing.
French aristocrat. Trouble breathing. He's epileptic because of inbreeding.
So he can't watch that episode of Pokemon.
No, that would set him off.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Even turning the lights on sometimes sets him off.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that's not funny.
But he's on so many drugs that he's slightly narcoleptic. So, phenobarbital.
Heavy
doses of phenobarbital. So he'll, nod out of
you
the
ever tried that
piss
shit?
Himself. No, I'm more into keeping him alive.
Yeah.
But he'll nod out on the couch and piss on my couch.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I have friends who've done that.
Yeah. I've at college, though, but I didn't want it, as an adult. You got a nice couch and your dog pisses on it. But.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed on the furniture anymore.
Oh, poor buddy.
And he's always thirsty. Oh. So, he has perpetual cotton mouth, which is...
Damn.
He's
stoned off his ass.
He is.
He's Cali sober.
Oh. But he's a lover.
Yeah.
He would sit on the couch with you and stare up longingly for you for, days at a time.
It's so fun.
It is. Nothing like... Just love.
You might also nothing but love. Had some of my wine last night out of my cup.
Oh, nice.
It was very cute.
That's good.
She did some sneezes afterwards, which was cute.
Yeah. She wasn't sure about the alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm going to rein in my dog talk for a little bit. So it's funny. I bought this from Thurston. The manager in charge, Noah, was like, yeah, there's oddly enough, people aren't buying a lot of $45 Cab Franc.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nine?
Yeah.
It needs to be placed more prominently.
Yeah, I mean...
This is a hand sell, though, and no one would be disappointed with that one.
Right. No, it's fucking
lovely.
Well,
it's also Touraine. I mean, that could be part of it. It's not, the most well-regarded, appellation Touraine in France for anything, really, so...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder if he's tasted the staff on it, because that wine is...
He might have. I think it's probably didn't get much of it.
Oh, yeah.
I might go buy the 2002, because it's the same price.
Yeah.
I mean, this feels like it's got a couple more years in it, certainly. Yeah.
I'm stunned, Sans Souf.
Yeah, that's 09. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's also, you can't
it's
see...
not really brickish, or it's...
No,
he lied.
There's a clear edge on the outside, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a... I never trust never trust what they say in the bottle, so it doesn't.
No, I do love it when winemakers have in the bottle. It's sans souffle. It's like, okay,
yeah, it's a bold statement, you know. But at that time, 09, it was a real big statement.
Yeah, it was also a really fucking hot year.
Have you done a fully sans souffle cuvée?
Oh yeah.
Does it just depend on which grapes or what the climate is or what that vintage is like? Or?
No, it's what Craig wants to. Craig will allow. He doesn't. Craig's my partner in lo-fi. Okay. Craig Winchester, and
that's a good name.
It's strong. He always says that there's somewhere some English people got mixed up in his Scottish blood and ruined it. But he's a voice of reason. We went to college together. We've known each other since we're teenagers. So where I might want to not add sulfur to something or do something a certain way, Craig is a little bit more grounded, and you know, he's like the Scrooge McDuck.
We've been talking about DuckTales a lot.
So he's always doing backstrokes and piles of money? Because have all that winemaker money.
Craig works really hard for nothing. But but it's a good lifestyle. That's what I try to tell my kids. But
do you want them to become winemakers?
I think if there's something. It's a noble profession. Yeah. I think you bring a lot of joy to people. Mm-hmm. It's an honest profession. Is that, you know, I work hard and I'm tired at the end of the day, and I'm not robbing people.
Fair.
I feel good about myself as a human being and what I contribute.
Do you ever feel when you look at winemakers who aren't honest in ways that like, is that bother you, or are you just like to each your own?
I don't fault people for that. I mean, it's a business in a certain way. It's like, you know, if there's a cheese maker that makes some artisan cheese that he puts in a cave for 3 years, and then there's a guy who makes craft singles. The craft singles guy's just trying to feed his family.
Sure,
you know. So I don't fault people, but it's you know, we all have to contribute and make the world a better place. In my opinion, I don't know.
Fair, yeah.
And if they don't want to make the world a better place, then that's fine for them.
Kraft singles are pretty good on a cheeseburger.
Yeah, yes. If you're going to melt something, I mean, that's what they're made for.
Right.
You know, the
if you try to give me a cheeseburger,
cheddar. It is a cheddar. It's just emulsifier.
Is it technically a cheddar?
Technically, it's a cheddar. It's just the emulsifiers. Yeah. Food science.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, it's like El Bulli.
Yeah. exactly. I had this incredible. That was the one thing up in Hudson they had. This guy made a potato thing with, it's kind of like mac and cheese, but made it with this, it's like a soft Swiss cheese.
Raclette?
That does sound like,
yeah,
and
potatoes. Shave it with the knife.
And potatoes and lardon.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I don't know why I make fucking mac and cheese anymore, because this shit is it. Like, the potato is superior to the noodle. And
I don't know about that
in a million ways.
That's a wild take.
A million ways.
I mean,
at least in that mac and cheese with bacon or potato and cheese and bacon, it was next level.
A loaded baked potato. I mean, maybe I'm just too Irish to think, you know, but a loaded baked potato or like loaded fucking cheese fries.
Poutine.
Or like Irish nachos.
Poutine. Oh my god.
Tater
my
nipples just got hurt. With some cheese on it.
I love fucking tater tots.
I mean, I like my wife's a pastafarian in terms of she loves pasta.
Yeah.
And I just don't love it as much as she does. But potatoes are my
I love jam, cold pasta scooped out of the refrigerator the day afterwards. Like just like chomping that.
Very good.
Yeah, it's like the move.
I think I did an 8-course years ago. My wife and I were here in New York, and we went to Babbo.
Oh, cool.
And did the chef's menu with wine pairings, but she doesn't eat pork or lamb or beef.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 8 courses of pasta and wine. God. I've never been so depressed in my life. It was like literally, what, real more pasta? It's like it's just the one thing that I don't eat, pasta.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Unless it's in ramen. Then I can do it if it's loaded with that kind of fat.
Yeah. So what, you had to do the same courses that she did?
Yeah, they wouldn't split it. It was a tasting menu for two.
Our friend Miguel,
which was nice. The chef, you know, it wasn't the guy who shouldn't be named, but whoever was the chef at the time. And the wine pairing was baller. I mean, it was. I was happy with the wine and everything. I can't eat that much pasta.
Mm. Our friend Miguel used to work at, where was it?
Casamono.
Well, before that, like Per Se or something.
Sure.
Because it does like multiple course dinners. And sometimes they get rented out for like a corporate kind of event. Mm-hmm. They'd be 40 people all coming, and like one guy was kosher.
No.
And like they
do a whole meal.
They
kosher.
They wouldn't cook a kosher. They didn't have a kosher kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
So they would order like 10 courses of the exact same thing.
Oh, wow.
And every time they brought every course out, they would place his in the bag because they weren't allowed to open the bag or wouldn't be kosher anymore in front of him. And he would open it and it would be exactly what he'd had just the last course.
Why would he not just come to the dinner?
Because it's like a corporate, it's like, it's a team building exercise. Or
that
like
really builds a team. Yeah, it really builds it. It's going to make everybody feel good. It's all a great meal except for the Jew.
He was like, I felt so bad about that. It was awful.
Yeah.
Did he get drunk?
I have no idea.
Hey, can we drink some California wine now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Some kosher, California wine.
It's
not kosher.
So. I wouldn't care as long as it's wet. Am I right, guys?
I don't know anybody. My friend Ofer is trying to make kosher wine. So we'll see if it.
What's the biggest problem with it? Is just getting someone out there to bless it, or what is the issue?
No, it has to be made by someone like who's a Sabbath observing Jew. So I think like the, I actually interviewed for a job for Herzog, for
Are they good at wine, Herzog?
You know, some of the stuff that their winery is in Oxnard, but some of the stuff that they make is actually really good wine. I mean, it's flash pasteurized, so the process. But I think Bocastel does something similar to them to get rid of all the Brett they flash pasteurize. I don't know at what point. They make delicious wine. I mean, I'm half a Jew, so mine's like that could be the difference.
I guess
if I observe the Sabbath or something like that, but I don't do that. So
the Pastafarian portion, I don't spill.
I feel bad because it's
duck spells on it.
Yeah, the kosher section of every wine store in New York is so sad.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
And like
I can imagine.
I worked in wine retail. There are like, especially I think September. There's like a bunch of holidays where like wine is a necessity, and it's just like somewhat there should be like good kosher wine, but it seems like it's all like $12 Merlots.
Yeah, well, I just think it's what everybody wants to drink. Like I had a guy yesterday tell me that you know that the Santa Barbara County, which our Cab Franc it retails for about $22 in California, but he's like, oh, that's a lot for what? You know for. For just open every day. And there are a lot of people in the world like that.
100%. I did in-store tasting in Williamsburg, but a couple came in that were clearly someone's parents in town for the weekend. And they're like, wow, this is such a nice shop. Oh, this is so nice and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, a wine tasting. Harold, a wine tasting. Let's do it. And they tasted the first wine, and it was a Beaujolais Village, and it was great. And they're like, this is delicious. We love this. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's turned into a bottle. And they're like, oh, my God. Well, maybe not for tonight, but maybe if the president's coming over, and it was like this incredible thing. Like, to me, $22.
I would put
like
hemlock for the president. Yeah.
Whoa!
I'm talking about the president of Canada. Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau. Then I would have pulled out some good stuff. Then I would have pulled out some good stuff.
If the president of the United States came to my house, I'd give him a big old kiss.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Kiss of death.
Yeah. That's what. And then I'd detonate my suicide vest. I'm just kidding. Hey, R.I.P. Al Bakr.
Yeah.
Yeah, ISIS is fucking done, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Sam. There you go.
Well, we're going to probably cut this, but we should start our own ISIS.
Cool.
That was the thing.
What it'll stand for.
Oh, yeah.
In sulfites in...
ISAC?
Secrecy.
Yeah, in sulfites in secrecy.
Yeah. The archer that they actually had to change the name.
Yeah, they just like stopped referring
to it. It's a great show.
I was thinking we should call ourselves Wine de Beek, which is the ISIS magazine.
Uh-huh.
That was what I was thinking about in the shower today.
Cool.
I had the worst shower. I stayed in a nice hotel last night, and the shower was shit.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
that.
I
felt like complaining to them about it. It's like, is it really, you're going to charge me this much money and there's no water pressure?
Did you have like the shower, was it like the sex shower where is it you can see out the rest of the room?
It's Manhattan. You know, things are really small. So it was big enough for me to get in.
I use that excuse all the time.
I mean, isn't every shower a sex shower? Mm-hmm. No, that's it, yeah.
I'm afraid not. Hey, this is good.
Hey, thanks, so we're now in California. We're in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us about how you ended up in Santa Barbara?
And what is this wine?
Oh, so it's Coquelicot Vineyard Cabernet Franc. So Coquelicot is in Solvang, right below the Mission, so it's got a good Catholic thing going for it.
Hell yeah.
It's all clone 332, which is a Bordelaise clone.
Okay.
16 days.
What other grapes do they grow in this vineyard?
Oh, they grow everything.
Yeah, I feel like I've had wine from this vineyard. Do they grow with Sauvignon Blanc?
Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc Gruner.
Does Cab. Lady of the Sunshine draw from this?
She does.
Yes. Her Sauv Blanc is dope.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. She's a real nice lady. Her and her husband Mikey are good people. Good people. Make nice wines. Yeah, she makes the Sauvignon Blanc, Malbec, Cab Franc, Carignan.
Damn.
Yeah, a bunch of everything. It's spattering. It's 56 acres. So.
No. It's almost the size of the 100-acre wood where Winnie the Pooh lives.
Oh, yeah. Him and Christopher
Robin. If you're rounding up, it's the same size. Yeah,
the same size. So I don't have a piglet, but yeah. Yeah. It's 16 days semi-carbonic.
Okay.
And then 10 months neutral barrels.
And is this entire vineyard grown total. Biodynamic? Or?
No, not biodynamic. Okay. We don't the owners, the Rosensons, are Jewish, so they don't believe in witchcraft either.
This is
witchcraft either.
This is Kabbalah?
It's not Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah. Yeah, exactly. I blow the shofar.
That would be so fucking tight. this is good wine.
So yeah,
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Santa Barbara.
I mean, I listened to you guys and online, and I was worried when we opened the first two, how it would stack up. But I think it's got a good common theme.
Yeah,
it drinks like California. Yeah. It should. You're not like
it's got I think bigger
least,
fruit. Yeah,
my least favorite thing is for a California winemaker to try to make a French wine. Mm-hmm. Like I just don't. You're not going to, and you're going to like make a bad wine instead.
Can't turn off the sunshine.
Exactly.
You know, it's
so yeah. I think this just it just. Tastes like there's more sun here.
Except for the fires, it's the perfect place.
Right.
You know. Yeah, that's such a good except for. except for the fires and the
that's
earthquakes.
What I said, people say
well,
about
no earthquakes. Yeah. That's what someone always tells me. I went to school in North Carolina, and people are like, "Well, you guys have earthquakes." I've been in 3 earthquakes my entire every year in Carolina. You're having a hurricane. Mm-hmm. You got 15 inches of rain. I have a friend who's a winemaker.
I've been through 4 earthquakes. That's you're lucky.
Yeah, it's not well minor earthquakes. I mean things that shook. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever knocked over.
Yeah,
you know. But
do you have a bug out bag?
No,
I had a bug out bag in Istanbul.
I kind of think it. Occasionally, the talking heads will talk about having an earthquake preparedness. Mm-hmm. I have a big water tank, I guess, and some canned foods.
You got plenty of wine.
That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
Whenever there's a hurricane here, everyone just buys wine.
It's funny.
Boom for
wine and like white bread.
Yeah.
It's like
wine and white bread.
I see what you're doing, King.
Yeah.
Well, you dip the white bread in the wine and you eat it.
Yeah. They're doing Catholicism.
Camp stoves for grilled cheeses.
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm
having more.
No, yeah. So tell us about Santa Barbara, how you ended up in Santa Barbara from New Jersey.
I was making wine up in Sonoma and I
they make wine in Sonoma?
Yeah, yeah. I had back surgery and I quit my job because I had back surgery and had a wife and a newborn and needed to get a job.
Was that from carrying the winery on your shoulders?
No, exactly. No, I wish it was. No, working for a rich white guy.
Mm.
No, it just a back car accident.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to the best of them. But yeah, just got offered a job, moved down. I had some Santa Barbara wines, the standards, Coupe, Auvent Clément and stuff like that.
ABC is dope.
Yeah, yeah, he makes a decent amount of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a little Refosco in there, it's a bulk it out.
I think the Central Coast is phenomenal winemaking.
South Central,
yeah, dude,
it's LA.
It's really absurd that people sleep on it. Like, there's so much going on. It's very terroir.
Also, you get to go to LA instead of San Francisco first, and
LA's
more
a place
fun
to be.
San Francisco,
Jersey with palm trees.
Yeah, it's great.
It is a trashy
shit. There's lots of cheeseburgers and like donuts and fried chicken and
donuts,
shit.
Coyotes.
Oh yeah, coyotes everywhere.
Korean food.
Oh, God,
all the good
yeah.
things.
Yeah, coyotes exactly. and Korean food. Here we go.
Exactly.
And then you drive. It's honestly, the drive when I drove up to visit you, that was like that fucking drive is gorgeous.
Oh, it's not. It's
yeah. you have harbor LA seals.
We have there are seals at
they're
the
not
coast.
Harbor seals.
No,
though.
Yeah.
Do you have seals?
There are seals.
Yeah.
Are
they elephant seals?
There's elephant seals. There's all kinds. There's great white sharks. There's all got it all.
When I die, on God, when I die, I want to be a fucking elephant seal, have my fucking harem and my weird trunky thing.
Oh. They'll come up to you when you're surfing. They come up literally right next to you.
You know, their chest, just like mine, is like a thick layer of blubber. It's like armor.
Yeah.
Man, they're so fucking cool.
They're beautiful animals.
You ever see one of their dicks?
No.
No. You should Google that. It's pretty fucking cool.
Seal dick?
It's a lot like their nose.
full with whiskers.
Yeah,
yeah. We call those pubes, dude.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So what made you stay in Santa Barbara?
No, we're talking about this.
We're moving along.
So I moved down there. Got a job at this place, Kohler Winery, just enjoyed it. I think, you know, I grew up in Jersey and I surfed, and so it let me reconnect with surfing and being in the water, and it's not all wine all the time.
Mm-hmm. Googling it, I'm sorry.
Seal junk.
Oh, God. Oh. You want to see one?
You'd see them when I was surfing, you'd see seals.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right, I'll look at it.
There you go.
Fleshy.
I don't understand where it's coming from.
It's tummy.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
This is a better one, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This is the album art for this episode. Yeah.
Proportional to their body. It's,
yeah, I thought it would be smaller, bigger, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got
it's not horses.
I got to stop. I'm getting worked up. What are we talking about?
Got offered a job and took the job. Happy I ended up there. There's great people.
Yeah.
Good, great winemakers. Nice community.
I mean, I find the facts of the climate there are very interesting. The way that the mountain range suddenly shifts and the way it funnels that wind right through.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like San Francisco.
Unique.
Yeah.
And it's just like fascinating to me.
Do you get any Christie Vineyard fruit?
Any what?
Christie Vineyard fruit?
Christie. No, don't know that vineyard.
Yeah. It's good.
And is it in Santa Barbara?
It's in the Central Coast, I think. They got Albarino.
That's the crazy thing. Like, Central Coast runs from.
It's huge, yeah.
From Santa Cruz to Santa Barbara. Maybe Ventura, so that's the equivalent of like here to DC.
Okay,
right,
yeah. It's like is DC a 4-hour drive? It's a 4-hour drive. Yeah, so it's a long straight. But California in general, just being as arid as it is, it's interesting. Yeah. I never really thought about the differences. I had the UC Davis ag advisor was talking about the like what we call noxious weeds in Santa Barbara are ornamental grasses in other places because it just everything grows there. So the largest. We grow more weed there than anywhere else in the...
Hell yeah.
More than Humboldt County?
More than Humboldt, more legal weed than anywhere else in the nation.
Do you ever puff that devil's lettuce?
Oh, hell yeah.
We drink his vermouth.
There you go. That's so I'm driving my son to school, and that's a Black Dog Farms. That's a 10-acre lot.
Damn,
see that? Super.
Whoa. He's showing us another seal penis.
But, so... One of actually some of the but like this is a big cola.
That's a lot of ganj.
It's literally enough to supply the entire country. Is the way they calculate it out as much.
Thanks, Obama.
So wait, based on what?
Yeah.
How high people want to get? Or
no.
How high they get
on consumption and pounds grown.
So where does it all go? Because obviously people are also growing.
Well, they make.
Places.
Well, I think.
I mean, there's never been a weed shortage.
Well, a lot of it is. Well, there's not. There's a surplus now. Prices have gone from $4,000 a pound to about $400 a pound. But the black market portion of it, because of the legal, the hoops you have to jump through. So the black market portion has gotten higher because it's harder to sell legal weed. It's not that it's gone down in price at the dispensaries, but. It's just they have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Right.
Literally, I was at the rental yard, and the guy at the equipment rental yard was telling me how the sheriff's department came and rented the largest tractor mower they had because they just had to mow down 60 acres. That's
why.
Because they hadn't filled out the correct permits,
Jesus.
It was illegal, so they literally
mowed. You
know that
song, Police and Helicopters?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's like burning down the Library of Alexandria.
Well, no, they'll just grow it back.
Okay.
And then literally at 60 acres, that's just a drop in the bucket of the illegal.
You heard it here first, folks. Smoke weed. Every day.
Yeah, wow.
And I like to call it weed. Cannabis just, it's like, I don't agree with that idea. And they try to say the weed is... racist, or and I don't believe that it's racist. It's like calling it rock and roll or whatever those other things.
Yeah. What do you call it?
Weed.
Okay.
I feel like
I don't call it cannabis.
Yeah,
that's
cannabis
a weird
is
thing.
Too hard. Like, yeah.
It sounds like a doctor. Like, have you had any cannabis today?
Exactly. It doesn't.
My dad still sometimes refers to weed as dope, and I find that weird.
That's heroin, isn't it?
No, that means heroin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think when he grew up,
I don't think that people need to be going on heroin though.
No.
If you are currently on heroin though, there's no judgment.
There's no judgment.
It's cool. Yeah. It's fucking cool as hell.
No, well, it's there's always help for you, and I think you should, you know.
That's what I was going to tell you.
It's all about methadone and getting, you know, the bear people made enough money off of that.
You said, I'm going to go back to wine. Ready?
Oh, okay.
You guys ready for this?
I'm ready for that.
All these wines are the same texture, which is fucking wild.
Yeah, well, it's that Cab Franc texture, baby.
I feel like these are all really, I don't want to say smooth, because I don't, smooth is a bad word, but glycerine.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, I agree with you.
And oftentimes, I feel like Cab Franc has, like, roughshod edges. These are all, like, enormously well integrated, which really makes a lot of Cab Franc's exuberances feel nicer to me.
I'll agree with you.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. It's
I was so fucking pissed an hour ago.
Oh.
Now you're drunk. Should we do the Club Mullet next?
Oh yeah. This is it's
high drunk. I'm dad.
So, this is actually the second release of Club Mullet, but the first that is kind of a more along the lines of what we wanted,
to
do with it. It's you know, the when I moved to the property, we planted the vineyard. So this is the sixth leaf of the vineyard. It's all unrooted.
That's not very long at all.
No. When I bought it, it was the people who lived there before me had 9 draft horses. Mm-hmm. They did the Solvang. It's funny, they were the darkest complected Danes. Solvang is a Danish community.
Oh, see, they're Finns.
No, exactly.
Am I right? All my Nordic friends.
Of all your Nordic friends, yeah. Well, do they? Yeah. But they had draft horses. They'd do like a horse and buggy ride around. So they kept all their draft horses there, and so I planted it when we moved there. My friend Frank ripped it and everything for me, and then I collected sticks from 6 different vineyards, mostly cloned, or almost all cloned 214, which is a Loire clone. I calloused them all in my garage and picking bins, and then myself and Craig and my wife planted them.
So do you consider yourself a vigneron?
Well, I farm.
Mm-hmm. Primarily?
Primarily I'm a winemaker. I'm not a good farmer.
Okay. I was going to say,
I have a guy that helps me. In the vineyard, you know, I turn the water on, I turn the water off.
Okay.
My wife does a lot of it, but it's, I'm not a big farming fan.
Okay.
So.
You're not a fan of doing it?
No, it's just like, washing the dishes. You know, you got to do it.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, yeah, we're cleaning the toilet.
But you do it.
You don't have to clean the toilet, right? I mean, the toilet's clean.
He is sterile, dude.
Nah, the smell of it is a little bit much. Like, if you go to somebody's house and you know they don't clean the toilet, you're like, this person.
If you have enough pressure in your stream, you can actually do a lot of cleaning. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I got you.
Pro tip for all everyone else who's a dude who lives alone listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So it's the first couple of vintages of it, we tried to do whole cluster.
That's some black fruit up in there, Chloe.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's no new wood.
Yeah,
you get this kind of like cocoa portion to it.
Mm-hmm.
The first few vintages were very, we did whole cluster and it tasted like Campari without any sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You really had to be into bitter,
mm-hmm.
Which some people really liked. It's a total, and what I've learned since then is that, that treating Cabernet Franc this way is a different, idea. 100% destemmed, pressing it off early, letting it finish.
Yeah.
In barrel, otherwise it gets really bitter. But it's different.
All of the first three wines seem to have a lot to say to each other, and this one has just like so much more. Like, I want to say glumphy.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It's
there's glumph.
Yeah, it's slightly California-ish in a way.
Have
but
you read
not.
The Lorax?
I have.
I'm just fucking with you.
I love the Lorax. Episode. The Lorax is, you know, if needs are everything that everyone needs.
Mm-hmm.
Biggering is, I use Biggering pretty much every day.
Well, same.
And people don't, and it's not because I'm a Donnie fan. The Biggerist. Yeah.
Donnie Osmond, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I am a Donnie Osmond fan. I think I had the 45.
I really like this. I think the dark cocoa, the bitter notes, the like almost like Fernetti kind of thing.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
it
it's
really,
that, it's
really
like
nice.
Cinchona.
Yeah.
Kind of that. Yeah. Like I was really into the idea of making a Cinato.
Okay.
Because I love that shit.
Yeah.
Lululi, have you had that?
No.
Dresdner. and pours that Lully Canato.
The Lully Dresner.
The Lully Canato Moscato. It's a Canato made with Muscat.
Ooh.
The best martini you've had in your fucking life.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. It's Sauvage here in Brooklyn, I guess. Got it. But that is the best martini. You can batch them. It's a 500-ml bottle, so you can make big batches and keep them in your freezer.
The best martini I've ever had is one I had like a week ago. And it's just like, I don't need another martini.
The one you had for breakfast.
It's like, ooh, I had a martini. I did my due diligence.
Wait until you try this one at Sauvage. The Lully Canato Moscato makes it next level. Canato is, let's go
get a fucking martini. I mean, this day's fucked anyways.
But making Canato was something that, we made some, and the wine was so bitter orange peel quinine kind of thing that I was like, oh, maybe I should just put some sugar and elderberry and vanilla in it and
call it a day.
Can I say that I don't think any of these wines have been very typical Cab Francs?
They've all been delicious.
They've been delicious. Yeah. I'm in loving this, but again, none of them have done the Cab Franc thing, which is like the exuberance has been tamed in all of these wines. Mm. And I don't know. I don't know what's a more annoying opinion, saying I don't like Cab Franc and having people being mad at me, or saying I only like good Cab Franc, which everyone gets mad at me. I feel like Cab Franc allows itself to make a very competent bad wine that people seem to like. Mm-hmm. I think you have a greater tolerance for bad Cab Franc than you do for other wines. I'm looking at Kevin.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I think you have less of a tolerance, or I think you've had more bad Cab Franc experiences, maybe.
Oh, I've had some. Yeah.
But camp. I mean, I think for some reason, when Cab Franc is bad, it's bad in a way that's very easy to pinpoint.
Yes.
Whereas when Pinot Noir is bad, it's almost...
It just fucking more, sucks.
Yeah, it's bad, mm-hmm. but there's no, it's harder to describe why. Mm-hmm. And so maybe because you can say, oh, this one's bad because all I can taste is green pepper.
This wine is some makes fucking it an King easy thing Dong to say. Shit.
All these wines have been great. And I think if other and on a root grapes...
Day.
If,
and on a root day, exactly. The roots run deep.
Yeah, if other grapes had their flaws be so obvious and nameable, then maybe they would get more attention for when they were bad than Cab Franc.
I kind of agree. I think one of the reasons why I say I don't like Cab Franc is also it seems like every wine professional is fucking batshit about it. Mm. And I don't think I'm going to invest. I'm going to definitely buy another bottle of this.
I might buy the O2. I think I'm right there. Yeah. To go to thirst.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say wine professionals are also batshit about Chenin, and you have no problem drinking of Chenin.
Chenin's awesome. It's white.
I wish I would have brought a Chenin.
Bad Chenin.
Your wines are
bad
really
too.
Good.
I got my Chenin. The Chenin. The only problem with the Chenin is that the vineyard isn't organic.
Did you do a really fucking good rosé about 2 years ago?
Cab Franc rosé.
Yeah, everyone got mad about how good it was.
We did. Yeah, the rosé has been good, but I don't.
You
drink
still
lost
placements for me, bitch.
Oh. I don't.
Not that many because we didn't get a lot.
You not getting a lot versus me getting a lot is a big difference.
Right. Yeah. We only got 100 cases.
Yeah, that's enough for a season.
I think with Cab Franc, I think Pinot is my because there's so much Pinot made by us. I think that Pinot for me is the idea of what could be the worst.
You guys don't make a Pinot.
We make a Pinot, but our Pinot is really weird.
Okay,
it's just we make a small amount of it just because everybody else makes Pinot and you
there's
want
so much Pinot in Santa Barbara, and a lot of it is bad.
Well, it's not that it's bad, but it's a target marketplace. You know, in Sheboygan. Santa Barbara Pinot kills it. Not that there's anything wrong with Sheboygan. I'd love to go there.
No, they can make great sausage.
Yeah, but it's
sausage in Sheboygan.
What's a Sheboygan? I'm so sorry.
Nothing. What's Sheboygan place. With you?
Hi, Sheboygan. I'm Dad.
but the style of Pinot Noir. I mean, there are people that are making really nice Pinot Noir that's not hugely manipulated or any of those portions. Well, I mean, but
it's weird because I do feel like that California's climate is weird for Pinot Noir, and you have to do a lot of of mental gymnastics to why am I growing this when I should be growing Rhone varietals?
But you think of Santa Rita Hills as far as the portion, it's the lack of water, I think. It's not that the degree days are any different. It is relative as latitude to Tunisia, but the temperature is just as cool as Burgundy. It's, we don't have as much cold, but it's not that they can't, but I think, honestly, I would say that Pinot gets to express its full potential in California because the weather isn't limiting.
Yes.
So what they do in Burgundy is we have that as a mind as of what can be the perfect portion, but the need to capitalize and to affect wines that way there would say that maybe
Pinot is exactly what it should be in Santa Barbara and not what it should be in Burgundy. But then we have this notion of that Pinot Noir, the best of Pinot Noir is
the
Burgundy.
Burgundian ideal.
Is
right?
The Burgundy ideal. Yeah. It's like if you raise a child from good stock and it ends up being a, you know, a Nobel laureate, mm-hmm. And it comes from Compton, then is not Compton the best place to to raise a Nobel laureate?
Well, right? I mean, it's just like Christianity was invented in the Middle East, but it found its fullest potential in Ireland. And like, yeah, I mean,
they did legalize abortion. So here's
hell
the
yeah.
Irish.
That's fucking
here's
cool.
The Irish, yeah.
Fucking,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll get it on that
exactly. If they only let women become priests, then here's to the Irish.
Well, honestly, like I think maybe no one should become priests.
The Pope is going to like allow people to fuck, right? Isn't that the thing?
I'm first in line if I can fuck the Pope. Can you imagine? It's like, where are you going tonight? I'm like, oh, I'm going to go suck off the Pope.
Like, think about that. Like, the Pope literally could change a law so that he can nut. Like, that's like, what's happening?
Can you imagine how horny you have to be to be like, I'm going to just rip up the ancient scriptures, be like...
Yeah,
it's like actually, I found this document Jesus wrote. It says I can bust.
That's basically what Mormons did, right?
Yes.
It's like, I found a new golden tablet. It says like I can have seven wives now. It's really chill.
It says different area codes. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's not a bad pope as popes go.
As popes go,
he's better than John Paul.
He's
or any
not
of
done
ones.
A genocide yet.
Who was the Nazi? That one was bad.
Ratzi.
Yeah,
Ratzinger.
Ratzenberger.
Yeah, exactly. He's still there. He just had crazy dementia.
Oh yeah.
He got syphilis, I think.
could be. I mean, they've all changed them along the line to make something worthwhile for them. But the young pope.
That's a good show.
He is a fucking good actor. He should be a solid wine.
He might be a Pinot Noir.
You know, that's a tough one. He's good. I don't think I've ever. Well, he's had some iffy roles, but
so is Pinot Noir.
But Alfie was the original with Michael Caine. Michael Caine is just a god. That guy is just fantastic. Literally changed his name.
Do you have a Michael
Caine?
Michael Caine impression?
Wait, what do you mean? No. What was his name before?
Oh, it's something really fucked up. It's something really weird, and he literally just changed his name to Michael Caine because he'd go through customs with his real name, and people were like, "No, you're Michael Caine," but his real name is all right. Nope. I have a friend who's from Cornwall, but he does the best sing song Cockney stuff.
I'm from Cornwall, New York.
Oh, there. We did a bar crawl. That's a good one, Cornwall. That's a good one.
Cool.
The Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah, that's what they used to call me in high school.
The Pirate of Penzance?
Something like that. Yeah. I'm going to have more of your bitter ass wine.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I like how bitter it is.
Give me that bitter juice.
It's tasting really good. I was really...
What is the Latin on that label?
Oh, maybe? You're going to love this one. So to keep it classy, we put it on the Reddit forum for Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, fronte negotium otium tergo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business in front, party in the back.
That's very cool.
Because my vineyard's called Clos Mollet.
Oh, cool. Clos Mollet.
Yeah, well, that's what people say. People will say, where is Clos Mollet? No, it's mullet, like the haircut.
The first, like...
And it has a mullet on it.
Is this a clos, actually? It's an enclosed vineyard?
It's an enclosed vineyard. Yeah, I have a deer fence.
Sick.
A deer fence, 8 foot tall.
That's my favorite band from 2008.
Deer Fence?
Yeah.
Deer Fence. Deer Fence, yeah.
Remember they played McCarran Pool.
Oh.
It was so sick.
Oh, I spilt on your floor.
No, that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
A little excessive swirl.
Oh, there's been stuff on that floor before.
Okay, yeah. I got it, yeah. The excessive. No, when we planted the vineyard, it's recycled. So Zaca Mesa had, my friend Ruben's the vineyard manager at Zaca Mesa, and they pulled out like 30 acres of vineyard. So I took these 35-year-old posts and I chop-sawed them down and used them. And I used the trellis wire and the drip line to plant my vineyard. So the stakes in the front are only 4 foot tall, and the ones in the back are 5 foot tall.
Are those anti-vampire stakes or just?
No, they're rolled galvanized.
That's one of my favorite kind. Yeah,
yeah. If you're gonna go by stakes, but
I
so
prefer
we
for a fillet.
I'm all.
I like hawthorn wood because it fucking. Wrecks the undead.
Hawthorn wood, pine. I tried to find wooden stakes, but they're impossible. the old ones they have out in the Central Valley. Mm-hmm. They're just expensive. But Free was perfect for me.
Free's good, a good price.
So, yeah. I'd quit my last job, and I had some time, so I got to, I spent all day, lost all this weight pounding posts and doing all that. That's what
they, we had Canadians on the podcast last night, and they repeatedly accused Americans of being obsessed with deals, which I think is true.
Well, it's but an expensive place. Get,
what's the problem with a good deal?
I like a good deal.
Free is a great price.
Yeah, I like it. I like tricking people. Like, I'll pay you Tuesday for hamburgers a day.
I'll tell you, I'm overpaying for my Canadian fucking maple syrup.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Those guys aren't dealing on that shit. That stuff's expensive. Gloves that grade off. A amber shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and my wife have a disagreement because I love real maple syrup, and she loves to eat the Aunt Jemima, like, fake syrup.
That's not real.
She's from the South. I think they just like that fake, like, sweetness.
They also use lard instead of butter.
Yeah.
Well, lard's not bad. Good. Yeah. Whipped lard? Mm-mm.
Oh, have you also noticed that margarine has rebranded as plant butter?
Yes.
No, that's a really cool move.
Anthony is now pushing that.
Oh, Anthony plant butter? From Queer Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also unfollowed all of them.
Yeah, but it's margarine hydrolyzed vegetable oil is actually a major cause for problems.
Sure.
That's in Wisconsin, they used to make you sell the color separate than the actual margarine. So margarine was white like Crisco, and you'd have to add yellow color to it to make it look like butter because of the dairy lobby.
Whoa. Yeah. So it would like come with like a little thing of like dye color on the side.
Yeah, on the side. Otherwise, you're just spreading like white shit.
Yeah.
Like Crisco.
Yeah.
Which... it's makes good a for delicious pie crust. Biscuit. Oh, yeah, or biscuits. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly,
we started using we make tamales in my household.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lard.
We've been using lard.
That's the way to go.
It is really, really, really nice.
I think your body. I think it was Alton Brown or
your
one
body
of those
needs
things.
Lard.
Is like, is that your body's ability? It's closer to our own fat, so your body's ability to digest.
It's disgusting.
Lard.
Right where to put it.
Well, just because the lard is closer to... I think that's what the Maoris called white people.
Long pig.
Pork.
Yep.
Long pork, yeah.
Yeah, so
we're
it's
doing anthropology?
Ability.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Exactly. So it makes it more digestible. If I could put pork fat in everything, I would.
Do you know
what if you could put human fat on things?
You that'd know...
be pretty good.
Oh, it sounds like a Clinton thing.
Well, no, that's actually... Fight Club. Edward Norton.
Yes.
As a grape.
Oh,
he's right there. He's right up there with Daniel.
Carignan.
Carignan?
Oh,
No.
That's
I'm sorry.
Fair.
That's not fair.
Whoa.
Grenache. That's not fair.
Grenache is John Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That is.
You need some great gravitas
exactly.
to be Grenache.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I think he's a little bit too big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but Grenache could be really big. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't. There aren't
so maybe,
any light
so
ones.
So maybe Edward Norton's like Mondays or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be. I mean, he's a.
But
a chameleon.
We can't do Kristen Bell. Are we just racist against girls in this podcast?
Yeah, no. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I can't.
Mea culpa.
I'll have to.
Mea Kunis.
Oh, God.
Oh, Mea Kunis.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Champagne.
She can be champagne.
She is Pinot Meunier.
Yeah, maybe. Actually. It's not wrong.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm enjoying this. See, I had this.
This is good. Do you like your own wine?
I don't drink very much of it. We our winery we share the space of our winery with this with a guy named Paolo Barbieri, and he's an MS.
Oh, he's a winemaker in Italy. Paolo Bea. Oh,
Bea.
Oh,
Barbieri.
I get them mixed up. Italian names are they're all Greek to me.
But he I got a funny story about that. He's an MS, and he worked in Vegas. Opened up the Cosmopolitan.
Sounds like a good sum.
He's actually a fantastic, literally. He embodies the idea of what a somm is. His job is to make people, the owner of the restaurant, money and to sell wine to people and do what a somm is.
That sounds criminal.
It's not criminal. It's like if you have like 12 Chinese billionaires in the room, are you going to complain to them that they buy a 3-liter for $30,000 or are you going to upsell them to a $50,000?
Yes.
He'll upsell them to a $50,000 bottle and he'll put Coca-Cola in them but his idea is to give his expertise. So he's a really good somm, and he knows all the things, and he passed all the tests, and he knows wine. But I don't know how I got on this, but we were tasting it the other day because you get hypercritical.
Do they like your wines?
He loves all wine. That's his thing. Is he can go from the biggest, most extracted. He sold more Gaia than anybody in the world at a time. And, you know, he'd sell two pallets of it where nobody, other people would sit on the shelf for it. You know, Scarpetta, the restaurant that he worked at.
Fantastic. Scarpetta.
Yeah.
Our friend Bobby Stuckey. Yeah.
Fantastic restaurant.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. And so, but he knows wine. And like, so getting critical, because everybody will tell you they love your wine, but a real friend will tell you what they think that they need in your wine. And so that's particularly with this wine. I think it needs a little bit of an edge. If it had a little bit more tannin, it had an edge to round out the middle of it. It's rounded in a sense, but it needs a little bit of edgy, more edge to it, a little bit of tannin to it or something like that.
To differentiate the Clos Mullet,
to differentiate itself from what the Coco
Let me is. Let me go back to that. I felt like they were quite different, but
they are. Yeah. But it's funny. We had a bottle of, you know, so there's a layer of Loire Cabernet Francs, and then there's another layer of that portion. I don't want it to be Bordelaise in a sense.
Yeah.
But the best of the best of Loire Cabernet Franc, it might have a little bit more of an edge to it, that it's a little bit more of an ageable style. Not that I don't think, because we opened a bottle in 2012, and it really held up. Mm-hmm.
This one definitely so much brighter already.
Yeah, it's that carbonic portion, or the semi-carbonic portion of it versus it.
And that like just slides down your gullet.
Oh, it's so
like it's
to
made
drink.
Of chicken fat.
Yeah.
Schmaltz. Yeah, the
schmaltzy.
The Coakley Cove Vineyard wine is almost like wearing a sweater, in a good way, like just like a little bit like more something there. And I actually really appreciate the Clos Mullet one for its nakedness, but I understand what you're coming from.
Yeah,
like,
if
there was a shirt on it, then it could like go to school with you. Like
you can't go to school naked.
Like, you'll get arrested.
Or so, shirtless.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't go to school
it's
naked.
Got pants. It's got pants on.
So yeah, it's Mickey Mouse.
Or it's got a shirt and no pants.
Right.
Yeah. It needs a little
both.
Bit. It needs, yeah,
you
exactly.
You really need both. I've learned.
So in the next vintage, we're doing a little bit of extended on a portion of it to kind of build a little bit more of a skeleton.
That must be fun to have a relatively young vineyard and to be kind of learning as you go along and still be able to like make really good wine.
Yeah, it is.
Like, each vintage is a little bit different. We make these tacks.
We made a sparkling of it last year because every year we do a pet nat of something different. But it made fine sparkling. But it's hard because it's, you know, they're really small berries and they're really...
Is this your best wine? Do you see this as being your best cuvée?
No. I think, honestly, I have a hard time with the best. It's, you know, the idea of a best. And it's, I think the Santa Barbara County is my best, the best wine, because it is hedonistic in the sense that you can drink gallons
of it.
You're
talking about the Santa Barbara?
The clear bottle one.
Yeah, oh my God, it's fucking incredible.
That's
the wine that, like, that and Sebastian David's Herle Berlu are the two Cab Francs that, like, are my twin goalposts of what I want all Cab Franc to be.
It's so much for everybody. You can drink it at
breakfast. You want your entry level to be your best wine.
It is. No, that's what it is. And that's the concept of natural wine that... that I want people to think about. It's like the idea of growing organic fruit or buying organic or things. You want natural wine to taste as acceptable and as accepting as everything, so that more people drink
believe in
as
it.
As opposed to thinking,
I think that's a really
like,
good point where like there was nerves to open a 2009 Sansouf Cab Franc, right?
Yeah.
And it thankfully.
But you're opening
those are unfounded.
You're opening it for cork dorks.
Yeah. So. But like I think the more that we can actually prove that like, hey, this natural wine shit isn't just like, oh, you have to drink it right away. Like there's something serious and something pleasurable about
it.
The more often that happens, it makes it less of a an oddity or like a specialty
place.
And more of just like this is how things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be done seriously.
That's what Jules Chauvet was saying. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking about the wine in question. Mm-hmm. When you read that book and like Fouillard gave a talk at the Wild World in Texas.
I think he's going to be there tomorrow too.
But you drink Fouillard, and that is not to say precise, but it's judicious use of sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
It's making wine without haphazard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in my opinion, what natural wine is. It's not
not the idea of being lazy and not adding sulfur and not racking and not doing all these things to make fucked up wine because of a dogma about it. And but it's making good wine without any. Let's, you know, natural wine has gotten to the point where it's like you're an anti-vaxxer.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the reason why polio is coming back.
Like, if you're like a child and you're making sans souf wine, it's like, go fuck yourself. Like, you make, if you are a grown-up and you are able to, like, evaluate the risks you are taking and you choose to make sans souf wine and it turns out to be fucking banging, more power to you.
Exactly. I feel like exactly. You own a microscope. That's what he was telling you. That's that's what the Gang of Four, or Gang of Five, whatever, that whole thing, except for Matras, everybody else is not lazy.
And Matras's wines are oftentimes the edge of fuck.
Yeah, some of them are fucked, but I think he is like the outlier in that sense. Yeah. Like,
he's the Ringo.
He's too lazy to fill out paperwork to export his wine. Now, I don't think that that's the question with the rest of them, is that they're, you know, rack your wine or whatever it is, or fill out paperwork, or maybe it's just the sales portion of it. But they're honestly solid people, craftsmen that care about what they do.
Like, the only sans souf wine we had today, this guy, he sounds awesome. He sounds like a fucking zealot.
Yeah,
zealot. Like a psychopath. Like, he's never been to Paris, or he's been to Paris once. He doesn't know shit where the natural wine scene is.
I have a couple of winemakers that have never been to D.C., so...
Well, I mean, yeah, but, like, the Loire to Paris is, like...
a G.C. bistro scene that invented wine.
But can you imagine being, like, a natural winemaker in the Loire Valley and, like, Paris, I don't care.
Well, I feel like that's, like, even, like, he must Marcel have a Joubert, government. Like, in Burgundy, in Beaujolais, where, like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he was, like, he knew all the Gang of Four guys, but never cared about it, and was, like, kind of in the background and just kept making this really pure
earmuffs. Yeah. Winemakers are jackasses a lot of the time.
Like, a lot of them are.
It's like the most aggressive form of art in a weird way, which is like, well, I'm making this thing. The value goes up every time someone drinks it. 98% of people will not understand what the fuck I'm doing. And it's supposed to play second banana to food. And like, it's like this,
like making the ultimate condiment. Like, I'm the ketchup king.
Yes.
You're like Abe Froman.
You really, you've got to really sort of hate yourself to make wine.
The sausage king of Chicago.
No, I think I agree with you 100%. They, correct. But as long as they can find an audience to purchase the wine.
And but that's the thing to me. Like, there's sort of, I almost feel like this has become a punchline, but like the idea of when people say, "Oh, I'm loot raisonné." In a lot of ways, like, I think people in New York are like, oh, it's bullshit. That just means they're spraying and they don't want to admit it. But what they're actually, what that whole, like, idea was like, we don't want to do this just to do it if the wine's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I feel that there's a version of that for sulfite usage, which is, minimal allowable or, like, minimal possible. And people think
homeopathic dosage.
And farming.
But it's not. It's in a way that's like a reference of being like, I recognize that, like, the most important thing is that people like this wine. Because if they don't like it, if they can't drink it, then who cares how I made it?
Yeah, if you can't make the wine sans souf, don't fucking make it sans souf.
Yeah. Well, that's the, you know, in Central California, they have this thing, it's called SIP, Certified Sustainability in Practice. And it's actually more dogmatic. It's harder in a sense because it looks into other things like, you know, the distance. If I'm organic or biodynamic, but I have to truck. When I was biodynamic at Demetra, we'd buy cow-based compost from Tulare and we truck it 300 miles to add cow-based compost that's organic. That's not sustainable, right? No. The cost of trucking is more than the cost of the compost itself and the amount of diesel fuel that's burnt to bring it all the way there. Well, in SIP certification, they don't do that. The idea is here is it has to be economically and it has to be environmentally and culturally responsible for the entire portion of it. So if you can't, well, and Burgundy is a perfect example, is that there's not a huge cow culture. So the idea of getting, in the biodynamic sense, they use more of this BC, what they call barrel compound, which is like a concentrated, which is a little bit of a shit. They add basalt and some other things to it that makes it darker. But it's a lot of that is, you know, hocus pocus. But the sense is that if modern agriculture can help you produce something at a better cost and more economically viable for a farmer, and it's not environmentally degrading to the areas around you,
what's wrong with it? That's the point. We get too caught up in it.
I wish sustainable didn't become a weasel word in one.
It is a weasel word.
Because like, sustainable is like, yeah. Oh, you know, they're not organic, but they like organic. Like, I don't know what I mean.
Like, but it isn't in that sense. It's like there's a the sustainable in a sense is that if it's, you know, and fertilizer is a perfect example of this thing. Is there's a plant uptake because you can eat everything. If say you're an athlete, if someone's riding a bicycle.
I don't have to pretend, dog. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You guys are fit at that point. I know the last
100 miler. Do you want to see me do 3 push-ups?
The last 100 miler you did on your bike. But the fact is they're not peeling off, you know, grapes one at a time and eating. They're eating tubes of goo.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that gives you the energy.
DMs open, guys.
to get you through that portion. And then there is a portion of like denying being science and technology deniers is just as bad as being a climate science denier. Is that our body has basic building blocks. Plants have that NPK. If you, like I use organic compost, the portion it's chicken shit, it's 3-3-3. And that basically
it's the Herman Cain deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the NPK of that version of it is, and there's not very much available. And it's pure chicken shit that's liquefied that I can put through the emitters.
Mm.
You can buy a commercial version that's 40-40-40. So it is made, and it might not be the industrial portion of it, but as far as the plant knows, it's the same exact thing as an athlete eating a bottle of goo to get across the finish line.
Yes.
And can you fault, I mean, the reason that we have population booms and that there's this many people in India is that we've made the world a better place through science, but it's taming it down. That's what Jules Chauvet is saying, is that the fact is you don't have to broadcast spray at large amounts and do all these things. You have to be sustainable in the sense that you don't make the environment worse and you don't deplete the ground and you don't affect the workers. And
you don't need to take a hose and spray all of the cyclists
exactly.
with goo.
Exactly. They just need a tube of it at the right moment.
I just want to point out that,
Not that I don't want it to all be organic and in a healthy way, but because, you know, what happened at fertilizer plants in India is a sad sack, you know, but the fact is that it's helped the world. Maybe not in population sense. We need more people to die. But.
Well, I mean, ask the British, because every famine in India has been the British's fault. Like,
yeah.
Well, India was exporting fucking food.
What was the name of that company? But it was an American company, basically, that had a fertilizer.
Aramco.
Cargill. Cargill. Mm-hmm. Yes. Cargill did it. Cargill did it.
Whoops.
Yep, exactly. And that was that shit was going somewhere.
We've always been trying to emulate our older brother in England.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, you guys think you can do colonialism?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So as you long think as you can colonize?
Yeah. We don't have to put an environment. We don't have to put a government in there. But as long as we get the money.
But like, imagine if sustainable were like a higher category then, because like the thing is like a lot of times like, and this is what you're touching on. As a professional radio person, let me summarize your argument. that a lot of times organics and biodynamics are window dressing.
Especially biodynamics.
Yeah, it's like letting you know what you're into.
Mm-hmm.
But like in terms of influencing the environment, there's oftentimes a lot of trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the argument that a lot of times, again, I've only heard California winemakers make this argument, but like it's still true, I think, that spraying once is better than spraying 1,000 times.
Exactly.
And like, I think that if you were to do an actual like,
it's Cali sober.
Well, yeah, it's the
Cali organics.
You know, the I have a friend who farms organically, and we make wine that's my winner tonight.
I actually like the Clos Mullet and this one. I have a lot to say to each other.
Yeah, This it's just for that age and no sulfur. It's
beautiful. Yeah. I mean, what did he sacrifice? He seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't go to his like kid's wedding because it's like it's a harvest day.
Also, that guy's kid should know not to get married in fucking September.
Exactly.
October,
yeah. Exactly.
But like,
or have a natural wine fair.
Like,
right.
if we really wanted to make the planet a better place.
Mm-hmm.
We'd stop dick measuring
and
start like actually like, what are you doing? And this is like this is something that a friend of the pod Ian said. Like, he's like, hey, I got a bunch of people to stop using fucking Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I'm not farming like 2 hectares complete with my own piss or whatever.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
I made.
I don't hoe them all myself.
I made this hoeing much sucks. Good.
Yeah,
hoeing ain't easy.
Yeah.
No, I think that's like a lot of times. I feel like biodynamics is almost like the brown M&Ms of farming.
Because they make you horny?
No.
That's like, green you know, M&Ms, sorry.
The story of like, whoever it was, Led Zeppelin or
Ozzy. This is my line.
Well, I'm stealing it.
Again, this is the second time you've done on the pod.
So the idea is that like, at least you know, if people got the certification, you know they're at least like, they're trying hard. And a lot of times you just feel like there's no way of knowing that a farmer is telling you the truth or a winemaker is telling you the truth.
There is. Pascaline called me about Chenin Blanc and I sent her a pesticide use report. If you're in California, you're farming, it's dictated by law. I have to have a...
But in France, did I do that?
I don't know the French equivalent, but in California, if you spray, you have to have a private applicator's license. Hmm. And everything that you spray, you have to put on CalAg as a matter of law. That every time that you spray something, you have to write it down and you have to put it in. So she called me about the Chenin Blanc and she's like, I love the wine. And I'm like, listen, you know, I'm completely an open book mm-hmm. about it in the portion. And I sent her the pesticide usage reports about it. And they spray things. It's an old vineyard. It's diseased. It has to be commercially viable and all these things. And it makes delicious wine. Mm-hmm. But everybody who sprays in California has to do that. And in theory, you could... spray.
Did she end up taking the wine?
She bought the wine, but I don't think she's the biggest proponent. I mean,
like I feel like Europe has a different.
Are they all? It's a lie.
They
everywhere
have
else.
A lie.
Like I went to France and they were flood irrigating things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all dry farmed, and you know, it's a. You know, people want to hear dogmatic mm-hmm. things about, especially in wine. It's so. Nuance.
And sometimes the problem is that you understand that you're talking to someone where, like, the nuance isn't going to... They're not going to be able to parse it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to just hear the sound bites.
Yeah.
And if that's what the difference is between them drinking real wine and them drinking not real wine, mm-hmm. is that worth it to just give them kind of an approximation mm-hmm. of the truth? I don't know.
Yeah. I just want people to think it's enjoyable. I mean, for me, the beverage of wine is the best thing. I'd rather drink... the Santa Barbara County Cab Franc, then drink beer with a chill. It works for burgers. It does all this stuff. If there wasn't as much alcohol in a lot of things, like 11.5% alcohol,
it feels
wine
nice.
Is with a chill, a little bit of trapped CO2.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an enjoyable beverage.
You just want to dip
people.
That in some formaldehyde?
I want to dip my balls in it.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
That's
good,
it, yeah.
Good
I feel like we've gone to the end of this episode. Is
probably,
it?
Yeah.
How far
really
have we gone?
An hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, let's cut this shit.
It went so quick.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Literally, that's... that was a 3 minute.
Thank you for... popping our Cab Franc cherry.
These are really good wines.
Thanks
for having me.
I feel like we've made a convert here of Duck.
I like Cab Franc. I just choose to not drink Cab Franc when there are other things available. All of these wines can get it.
Yeah. This is a really good lineup. And thanks for being here on the
Thanks
East
for having
Coast.
Me.
Yeah. You'll be at Wild World, but by the time this episode comes out, it will have been last week.
Yeah, but Wild World's in Washington next year.
So Wild World's a state of mind.
Oh, no, Washington State next year.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, next year.
Next year. I think it's 2020 week. Wild World.
Get that ganj.
Yep.
Yeah.
December 3rd, come see us at Nish Nish.
Okay, great, yep.
Nish Nish, I wish I was here December 3rd.
You just come
I'm
here
getting
now.
Some shoulder surgery in December, but...
Come here, man. I'll take a look at that. No big deal. I'm basically a doctor. I have anxiety.
Yeah.
So I've done a lot of Google searches.
My wife's a nurse. She's like, I'm going on the scalpel.
Oh, man. I would not
better life
let any woman I love open me up.
Oh no, she's not cutting.
Okay.
I hope you get some good pills for that. Oh, did they not give up?
You know,
good
I don't do a lot of pills. I'm like I
you do
I like
some
to suffer.
Pills though.
I like to suffer through it.
You sure you're not Catholic, dog?
No.
Shia?
No. I like light on the pills.
Okay.
Light on the pills.
Okay. Fair.
My pharmacological things have to be made in a warehouse somewhere.
Pain really opens you up. It's like all of a sudden, like, yeah, I am here.
I really enjoy it. It's
wow.
You got to suffer through it. That's
damn.
That's true.
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming, guys. Thank you for being here.
Patreon. Cheers. Just do a Patreon.
Yeah.
Oh, Patreon, yeah. I think that's it.
Go to our Patreon. What else do we have to do?
Buy some shirts.
Go to Niche Niche. We're going to sell that one out, undoubtedly, but it's going to be a lot of old people. So if you guys want to just come instead,
what that would be great. What are you guys doing a West Coast tour?
We're talking about that.
I can't wait for your West Coast tour. Yeah.
That's short.
West Coast tour would be fantastic.
Guys, a couple more Patreon subscribers, and the West Coast can happen.
Uh-huh. So West Coast tour.
You want us to come out there?
We're going to listen to the Best Coast album, Crazy For You, the entire time.
We're going to sleep at Jenny's house. It's going to be so cool.
What's your favorite song on the album?
The Best Coast album?
Yeah.
I don't know the names of them. I actually don't like them.
They're all good. Bratty B is really good.
Sure.
I told you to get Charlie Crockett, right?
Yeah.
Everyone get the Charlie Crockett record.
Anything else?
That's it.
Oh, Andrew Bird, too. He's a great whistler.
He can whistle.
He can whistle, man. Sure that guy can fucking whistle.
It's cool to be a guy who's the best whistler.
The best whistler. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a genius, that guy.
And can you imagine being Whistler's mother?
Oh, shit. All right.
Woo!
Bye.
Disgorgeous.